everybody. It's the Watch Crew, and we are here at the Supernova Expo. Is this the one we're at?
Yeah.
I keep spelling it wrong on the tweeting. We're at Supernova Expo, and we're having like our first catch-up in like a month and a half.
Pretty much.
And it's pretty cool. I've got to run the mic around.
Maybe we should just move in a little bit closer, and then that way... Mike, you can stay out if you're going to sing, all right?
I love Mike singing. So I kind of love also, we're here for all different reasons, but we're still getting our watcher on, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But
that's how diverse we've become,
we
isn't it?
We are totes diverse.
Yes.
And we've actually just been talking and planning about our 100th episode. And I know you guys have now already listened to it. Oh, my God, that guy's guns are huge. Look at those. That's insane. Yeah. Thank you for appreciating while they just laugh. That's ridiculous steroid abuse.
Yeah.
Anyway, hi. And we've just been planning our 100th episode, and we're pretty pumped. You guys will have already heard it. So now our 101 episode is hanging at Supernova.
Yeah.
Have you guys been having a fun morning?
This, you know, it's interesting how busy it is.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it to be.
It's so hot in this friggin' building.
Do you know what I love? People have been telling me that they've actually been opening the doors themselves, like they've illegally been opening up the doors and things just to let some air in. I mean, it is really boiling.
It's too many sweaty nerds.
Do you know what? What's good though? The layout.
It is.
The layout, I think, is the best it's ever been.
Yeah, and it's they've
moved away all the celebs. They're out over in the other half.
I know who needs them.
It's great.
Yeah. There's a lot of new stuff as well. Like, I noticed the whole gaming area.
Yeah.
There's, like, some gaming company at the back there that people are in there playing video games. There's EB Games is here with, like, a massive sort of just... I guess they're just... They're selling stuff. I don't think they've... I don't know if they've actually got, console set up for people to play games or anything.
They don't?
No, they don't have anything like that. It's, predominantly, it's a lot of their stock that they didn't get rid of during Christmas time, I think, and just a little bit of games that they're selling. But it's not your typical EB game. It's more of a pop culture.
The presence is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, I'm noticing more and more games-oriented stuff,
and
which
I
is
love
cool.
that. Like, especially if they're going to open and expand to different spaces.
Yeah.
I really love that they're taking on gaming and giving it its proper due. I don't think it's all there yet with its proper due, let's be honest. But we're starting somewhere.
Well, and now that PAX is a thing, and PAX was huge last year. Oh my God, it was amazing. It's worthwhile them having a presence at all the smaller cons leading up to PAX now.
Look at all the cosplayers. I mean, it is mainly gaming. You look at it, half of it, if not more.
Yeah.
I think, sometimes just because gaming is easy to cosplay as.
I've seen guys in suits with Star Wars helmets. It's been hilarious. It's like, they've got to get a regular job. We're not just, killing the universe. They've got to go out and earn some cash. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
Hardworking stormtroopers. Do you know what I kind of love? I'm loving the family cosplay.
Yes.
The number of family cosplay. There is this awesome Batgirl, and her dad is Alfred.
And
his daughter is like 4 or 5 years old.
Did you get a
and
photo
it's
of
so
that?
Cute. I didn't, because I was going like this. I didn't care about a photo. But it's so cute. Like, that's a dad going, I'm doing the easiest thing I can do for my daughter and getting her right into it, which I absolutely love.
Well, we hope you appreciate the photo that we've got on the page, which is of Tripitaka and Monkey. And they're probably about 5 or 6 years old.
You haven't seen this one, have you? They are so cute.
Yeah.
It's making me wonder. I've got my nephew Patrick's first birthday in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
Should I get him a costume?
Well, Ollie actually wanted to come today. He said, can I come and dress up and, be part of it all?
Why can't
And I
he?
Said, well, let's do it for Oz Comic Con. So
no,
Ollie...
Oz Comic Con. Free comic book day.
Oh, we could do
it's
free
in
comic
like
book
less
day.
Than a month.
Yes.
Now, I've got an issue, guys. I mentioned it on the podcast. I was going to get some help and get the TARDIS guy to help me make a Galactus outfit for free comic book day. But it is con season and I'm not organised. And by the time I've come to him, he has much more important things to care about. Oh, it's an orc fight. It's a sexual orc fight happening in front of us.
It's authentic.
I'm an orc.
Wow. Did you say orc thing?
And I'm assuming they actually know each other. Wow, that was really...
That was intense.
No, they all know each other. Now there's hugging.
That was intense.
Okay.
It's all right. Hydra agent over there. He's looking on.
I need something else to come as for free comic book day. Any thoughts?
I've made my suggestion.
I can't remember it.
Prince Adam of Eternia.
No.
Oh, I got the mic in front of me. Go to M.
Yeah, no, sorry. I'm busy thinking of my own costume.
All right.
I'm
going to incorporate into my costume a GoPro so that we can be, like, let's see all the craziness that's going on.
Orange is new. Are you going as orange?
I'm going to try and find an orange jumpsuit and go as one of the prison inmates from Bitch Planet.
Oh. Okay, I have one that you can take in. We'll check it out at mine. I have one that you can take in and re-dye, I reckon. I just went to an op shop and got us a boiler suit and then bleached it and dyed it orange. You could even do that. Let's be honest, something that's going to fit me, you'd have to take in a lot to fit you.
Yes.
So maybe instead you just go to an op shop and you'll be
maybe,
fine.
Yeah.
But that's my advice. Oh, the orcs are getting
they're
it on.
Excited, they're excited about your
cosplay. I would do that.
Yeah.
Bleach it and dye it orange.
All right.
This is like, I'm like the Tonya Todman of Watcher.
Now, can I just say, my favourite thing at Supernova this year, and it was the same last year, is the whole fan DIY section. The kind of like fan craft. It's getting bigger and bigger every year, and I absolutely fucking love it. And they're really stepping their game up. Like, some of the stuff is really high quality. Like, there's a lingerie boutique. I don't know if anyone has... Well, orcs are
the orc fight is just getting,
yeah, it is happening.
On.
There's like this lingerie boutique that sells like Star Trek and Batman underwear and bras and stuff. It's absolutely amazing. Awesome,
really?
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Men's underwear or just women's?
I think it's just women's. Soz. Yeah.
Sexist.
Yeah, sorry.
F-boss.
Yeah.
F-boss. My two complaints have been all of you need to use F-boss more.
Yes.
And also, more things for guys. We're sexy too.
Yeah.
Isn't there heaps of stuff for guys?
No, like undies and things.
Oh,
and
no,
yeah.
I can't even say that in a straight face.
Well,
yeah.
Well,
we're sexy too. Yeah.
I'm the market for
okay.
it.
Mike wants turtle underoos.
I've been walking around to anyone with a fake Captain
Shout
America shield and going, that is not a TARDIS guy-proof shield, and walking off.
Yes.
It's a plastic shield.
But it was good to see, Daredevil. I mean, sorry, Deadpool.
Deadpool with his Deadpool shield and Punisher shield walking around.
But did he look as good as sexy Ryan Reynolds Deadpool?
I know, but we'll talk about that in our timey-wimey 100th episode that hasn't happened yet, even though you've heard it already.
Yep.
So I think this is a fun way to intro the show. Now we're going to head over to a whole lot of fun interviews at Supernova. So I hope you guys have enjoyed the con, and let us know what you think. Bye.
Bye.
See you later.
Here with Neville from Melbourne Comics and also Velocity. How's it going today?
Yeah, very good, very good. A slow start to the day, more waking up than anything. But now that it's post-lunch, people are more willing to have a look and have a chat to you about the books, and things are starting to move.
Yeah, and obviously just released Melbourne Comics Quarterly number 2, which we reviewed in a previous show. And we actually really dug it. How's the what's the plans for Melbourne Comics Quarterly? Are we expecting something coming out again? Or?
Yeah, look, we pretty much have the third one covered off. We've got all the content finalized. Really, we're just waiting for the launch in two and a half 3 months. We're probably going to do it around Queen's birthday weekend, and we'll have a fresh batch of artists and writers getting into it, and then recycling some of the older stuff out again. But you'll get part 2 of the Killer Roo story, part 3 of Bulletproof Kid, and then got Scott Reed coming in with a brand new story, and possibly one or two more.
And and Velocity, where are we up to with Velocity at the moment?
We're doing a Velocity 5.1 launch around Free Comic Book Day, so that's probably about 3 weeks away. That's keeping me busy in the background. We've again got 4 local creators in the book, and it's going to be about 40 something pages, and it's going to include Matt Kame, Gareth Kurisian, Craig Bruin. So there's quite a good range of artists again.
And you know, you're an artist, you're a writer, you're a producer of, you know, of comics. I mean, where do you find the time, and how do you, I mean, for those that are interested in obviously following the field, how do you fit it all in?
Oh, look, it's because I've got a passion for it. I just juggle things around in my life. I travel around quite a bit for work, so whenever I'm in Sydney or I find myself with nothing to do, then I just work on it a little bit every time. Whether it's 10 minutes or 2 hours, if I can find time to dedicate to it, I keep going.
And for those who are looking to, you know, start their own comic, whether they're a writer or an artist, what would be, you know, Nev's tips?
Just keep going. So many people finish half a story or half a book or half a page and then they give up. The only way you can learn from your mistakes and the only way you can grow as a creator is if you finish something, you call it a day and you move on to the next chapter. You can look back and say, it's not as good as I would like it to be, but at least you got it done. You didn't quit.
That's it. That's some super great advice. And, look out for more reviews coming from these books as they keep coming out. But we're loving your stuff. Thanks for being on the show. I am with Mark Lautier, comic extraordinaire, writer, artist, out at Supernova today. How you going?
Yeah, doing great, actually. What about yourself? Doing pretty well?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for asking. It's the first person who's actually asked. So he's a gentleman as well. So and I think that's what we like about him. So, and how's your day at the con?
It's good, actually. It's always good. I love the energy of the crowd and seeing the cosplayers and everyone else. And it's just a positive atmosphere. So it's always good to be here, having a great time.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know Mark, he's actually he's from Perth. So. So we saw Mark probably, I think it was about 2 years ago
two
now.
2 years ago, yeah.
Yep, yep. And had a wonderful night with Mark in the most platonic kind of ways.
Yeah, we should clarify that. We were actually out in public and nothing dodgy was going on.
lots of sunglasses and hats.
That's right, lots of Horatio Caine jokes and a general good time.
And you've got we were talking about this offline. You've got a bit of a passion project going on at the moment. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, it's called Icarus 2120, which can be read for free up on my website, lorts.com. It's basically combines my two great loves, Greek mythology and sci-fi. It's a retelling of the Icarus and Daedalus myth, and Icarus ends up being sent to the future to bring things back for Hades. And typical to Greek stories, you know, there's plenty of tragedy and sacrifice and death and sex and all the rest of it. So, it's going. You can read it now. Hopefully, it's good. I don't know. I just do what I can.
And obviously, the future for that is a graphic novel.
Yes, yeah. Once I've finished with this sort of story arc, which will be about 100 and 120 pages or so, I'll be getting it coloured and release it into a nice book with additional content, etc. So, should be cool, yeah.
Awesome. Now, obviously, you've been doing this for a relatively short time. You know, you've last couple of years, say, you've really sort of come out into the market. What's your advice for those who are, you know, starting out, wanting to break in? What's your advice to them?
Start as early as you can. Like I wish that I started doing shows, years before I actually did, because you learn a lot by being at the shows and engaging with the crowd. But also you meet so many other creators, and so you learn a lot from them. And basically, that exposure, just being part of the industry through attending the conventions, get amongst it, and that's when you start to really improve, I find.
There you go. Wise words from the gentleman comic man himself, Mark Lautier. I am here with Dale McCanty. How are you, man?
Good, yourself?
Oh, you're the second person that's actually asked me how I'm doing, so thank you very much. I appreciate the asking. It's been a long day. How about yourself?
Yeah. Look, it's actually gone pretty quick. I'm sitting here with Bruce Mutard, so, it's a good laugh. Goes quite quick.
It's good stuff. And how's the table been today for you?
Really good. Yeah, there's a lot of people coming through, which is great to see. It's a bigger venue, I guess, and there's heaps of people here, and they're still flowing now. It's almost 3 o'clock.
Yeah, it's a pretty rad day. Now you've got a couple of books on the table. Probably the biggest one for Whitecap Press is The Misadventures of Peter Pumpkinhead. For those who don't know, these rad misadventures of said Pumpkinhead, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so he's just this pumpkin-headed boy, and he just gets up to crazy shenanigans. We actually have a webcomic as well on our website, whitecatpress.com. Each week a new artist actually contributes to this comic jam, and they do three panels. So one of the Watcher men, Mike, has been there.
I bet that didn't rate very well when he did his piece.
Actually, he threw it all into like a new game. He did like the whole reset, you know, like when there's a character and you watch the whole move and they wake up and it's a bad dream. That's what basically Mike did, and ruined the whole webcomic, everything I've worked for, he destroyed it in one, in three panels.
We say that all the time, that he's ruining something, so... Just out of curiosity, just for everybody to know, we're just interrupted by 42 Geek Street, which is super rude. But anyway, we'll keep going.
I actually have to go because I'm going to see them right now. So No, I'll stay.
Yeah. And so what's ahead for Peter Pumpkinhead?
Look, we're doing the weekly webcomic. Eventually, the goal is to go for the Guinness World Record. That's the goal.
How many's that to make it?
152 is the current record. If we get 153 in one published book with the most collaborative artists, so that's the goal.
So you're going for 253?
Yeah. No. And in a year or so, I think we should have enough.
And so what else is on the horizon for Whitecaps? Cat Press, what else is happening for you?
Well, we might be doing a second volume of Peter Pumpkinhead before we do this large collection of everything. But apart from that, I'm just working with Trevor Wood on After the Snow. It's not necessarily White Cat Press, but that is my next big project that we're doing.
That's a beautiful book. I've seen those pages, and that's a beautiful book.
Yeah, Trev is an amazing artist. He just got back from Emerald Con. I got some great feedback, so I'm looking forward to seeing how that turns out.
Absolutely. And, obviously Trev went to Emerald City Comic-Con and had some really choice pieces of wisdom there. What can you, for people who are starting out or might be feeling frustrated about where they are, whether they're a writer or an artist, a publisher... You know, is there any tips that you could probably offer?
Surround yourself with people probably at your level and just work collaboratively. Like, I'm a writer, couldn't do this without an artist, and I was just going to the monthly Melbourne comic meets and met all these cool dudes, and slowly, one project after the other, they just sort of pop up. So you just meet people, talk, work together, and then everything will fall in place.
That's a great tip, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Dale, so thanks for being on the show. And with Craig Bruin from Above Comic. Hey Craig, how's it going?
Yeah, very well, thanks Nath.
How's the con going so far?
We've been blown away by Supernova so far. The crowd is awesome, the vibe is really good. We've had strong sales and a lot of interest in the book and a lot of new readers coming on board as well too. So yeah, we're really happy.
So when you're saying new readers, are they what type of issues are they getting? Are they sort of jumping on halfway through or starting from the beginning or?
Most of them will actually jump on at the beginning and they might jump in with a couple of books. We're actually hoping that that might convert to some people coming back for the later issues, but. To be honest, I'm really quite impressed with how many new readers we've been able to get today.
And for the first time, you've sort of branched out a little bit with the merch, and you've got mugs and prints and stuff like that. Obviously, for a lot of people who come to the con, prints are like a big deal. They usually tend to get the prints over the books. Do you feel that that's sort of impacted in any way?
No. I'd say we pretty much came on with the idea that the prints would just be just a little bit of an extra if people were looking for additional stuff, and that seems to be the trend with how it's going. I don't feel like the prints have impacted on the books at all, but they've been more of an add-on sale if anything else. Yeah.
And fresh off the printer is issue 7. How's that?
Yeah, it's going well, and to be honest, it was probably the hardest issue to close out. It felt like the most work. It's probably the one I'm most proud of, and so far reception seems to be pretty good for it.
And it's an origin story, is that right?
Yeah, I was fairly big on the idea with From Above that I wanted to jump into action first and then go back and tell the origin once I had, I guess, people in with the action, and then I could slow the pace down with an origin story.
Now, you've obviously got a lot of fans, but there's also guys or girls that actually want to get into the industry, so artists and writers, etc. What type of, you know, tips or advice could you give them to actually starting comics?
Yeah, well, I've spoken to quite a lot of young aspiring artists today, and I guess the one thing that I fed to them was to not let anything hold you back. It's if you feel that that's the stuff you really want to do, then chase after it with, you know, dive in with both feet. It's something that it's always going to be a challenge, but if you get the opportunity to do a job that you love, then, you know, you're never really going to be working. It's just going to be a joy to do. So that was my advice.
Oh, Sage of Comics, Craig Ruin, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Oh, it was very sagely, wasn't it? Thank you.
Here with newly platinum Ledger Award winner. So we are in the presence of comic royalty, so to speak. Alicia Jade, how are you?
I am wonderful, thank you.
Yeah, it's lovely to have you on the show, doll. It's been such a long time since we actually had you on the show.
Yeah, but it's absolutely wonderful to see you at every event.
Yeah,
of course.
Thank you. I think the last time we had you on the show was the whole Supernova controversy that we experienced. Was it Supernova or was that Armageddon?
Oh, it might have been Armageddon, to be honest.
It was controversial.
A while ago.
It was controversial anyway, and let's never speak of that again. but it's great. And so you won a Platinum Ledger Award. Mm-hmm. What was the book that you won it for?
I actually won it for contributions to the community. So it was mostly around Mini Comic Con that I organised up in Brisbane, and also promotion of women in Australian comics through my list that I update and maintain and try and get promoted throughout the community. So Seven was actually nominated as well for a Ledger. Sad. It went to deserving winners, absolutely.
I think Frank Candelaro.
Absolutely deserved every moment of that award. And also a number of beautiful comics that I'd never heard of that I'm going to have to check out now because they looked absolutely gorgeous. And of course, you know, Jace Harper and Awkward and Tim Loy, all these great things. It was such a good night to come together and celebrate some real, not just excellence in Australian comics, because we do really have some excellent comics, but just celebrate the fact that everyone's there and they're so cool and, you know, oh, it's just so much fun to be doing this, right?
Now, you gave a great little speech, and I don't know if you remember it, but you were talking about transparency. Do you want to just sort of evaluate on what you've talked about now?
Well, transparency and visibility, I think, are really important. I mean, I might not be in comics now if I hadn't gone to that first Supernova back in 2004 and met Rebecca Clements and actually realized, you know, I could do this. Like, she's not that different from me. Like, she's a person. Like, she's a woman and she's doing it. So just having that visibility at these events where people can come and realize, like, we've been tabling all day, and people come and going, oh, I didn't even realize women did this, I didn't even realize this happened. So getting that into the community, not just at these events, at zine events, at book launches, gosh, I love book launches, and all of these things, I just feel is really important. So, you know, no matter what, you mentioned controversy, like, no matter what controversy ever happens with any of these events, I just feel it's really important for women to have a presence, because without that presence, it's almost as though we don't exist, and that's going right back to, you know, the problem in the first place, that people don't know we exist. So it's extremely important, whether it's visibility at these events, online launches, and pretty sure I'm never going to give up on it. So
you know, not no now, not now that you're royalty, you know. I suppose that leads into a question that I've been asking a lot of other creators, and it's you know, you've probably encountered a lot of people. Some of them are just sort of starting into the industry. Some might be thinking about doing it. Have you got any tips for those that are maybe frustrated with what they're doing, or even just starting in the industry?
Yeah, just do it. Don't worry about any... No, I'm serious. Don't
Nike
worry...
Nike it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about any... Like, a lot of the people that I meet that I'm like, oh, I'm just starting out, or I'm having trouble with this, often they go and they look for all this advice, which is great, but a lot of advice out there, like, don't start with your baby, or don't start with a long series or something like that, because you'll hate it at the end and something like that. It really... like, in some ways I understand where that's coming from, but in a lot of ways that just creates such complication for people who really just need to start making comics. Doesn't matter what they start on, anything that they create is going to be a learning experience, and it's going to contribute to, you know, their love of the form. And, you know, maybe they'll look back on it in a few years and they'll go, I was not very technically proficient then. I mean, anyone who's got my first works, I sincerely apologize. But please burn them. But I never regret them. They're always useful. As long as you give your work, and any time that you're doing it, as long as you give 100% to what you can do at the time, you can always look back at whatever you create and be proud of it. As long as you can be proud of it, there is no reason why you should have to worry about anything else. Just get going and you'll get better as you go.
That is great words from Alicia J. We love having you on the show, and we hope that it's a lot sooner rather than later next time. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Nate.
Well, that's it for Supernova 2015 Melbourne style. We hope that you had a great time listening to it just as much as we had walking around and chatting with all the punters and also the tablers. Big thanks to Supernova for their hospitality, and we had a great time. That's it for 101. Woohoo! Look forward to our special with Kyle from Kirby Crackle coming to you very, very soon. And if you're interested and you want to find out more about us from Watcher, you can check out facebook.com/WatcherPodcast or on Twitter at WatcherShow. Or you can check out me at Nath Stones on Twitter. For Dean, it's at Dino Curie on Twitter. Mike is at Mickey Toons everywhere on the web except for Instagram, which is The Real Mickey Toons. M is at The Maven herself. And our newest member, Nick, is The Excitable Boy. And if it's what you're cosplaying, what you're hydrating, or what you're conning, especially at Supernova, we want to hear about it. Thanks very much. See you next week. Bye. Close your